God gives everybody unique gifts and unique purpose. That's why we're all here on earth.
I really did not know why I was doing what I was doing. I just had to spend a lot of time by myself.
For example, if God gave you some gift for you to go change the world and you're not using it, what good are you to the world?
You don't work to be saved. You're saved, therefore you work.
God does everything for us. What are we here to do?
He was an atheist. So successful. Before he dies, he's just like, this is all really for. He was missing that eternal connection. It was like there was an end. But with Christ, there is no end.
It's a type of gift that you don't necessarily ask for. It's just given to you. Found out about Christ.
Making a decision.
But Georgie, there's more to making a decision. It's really understanding that God really knocks on everybody's door. God gives them the opportunity. God saves some people's lives. But they still choose to, you know, take drugs again. And they die. Now what?
I think people make that decision, like, over time, like, we've made less bad decisions because we've prioritized Christ over ourselves. We understand that, okay, doing these things kind of hurts the relationship that we have with our God, right? It's not what we want, and that's not what we want to prioritize. We want to prioritize our relationship with God.
And Bible character would be the best at Twitter, and what would their pinned tweet be, bro? Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Bros Think Big. Today, we're talking about finding purpose through Christ. But before we get to this episode, we want to give a shout out to Division One. Mike, take over.
So Division One supplements is a beef organ supplement that I use as a multivitamin every single day. It has pretty much every single micronutrient that I personally need as a, when it comes to a multivitamin. So I use it to not only recover better, but just in general to have the long-lasting energy to recover, to just stay healthy in general. So if I were to pick any single multivitamin, it would be this one. So if you guys are interested, link in the description, you can go check it out. And not only if you get it, it is an affiliate link. So if you do get it, it supports this podcast as well. So if you like what you watch,
please really support it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have the package today, unfortunately.
Yeah, I forgot about it, but I'm buying a new one though. So
yeah, right.
Coming soon.
We'll just Photoshop it in there.
Yeah.
So today's episode, finding purpose through Christ, boys. I remember we did a similar episode. That kind of, we even talked about this with Isaiah too, is doing everything in the glory of God and doing things that is purposeful in God's name. But I want this to, first of all, I want people to kind of get an understanding that God gives everybody unique gifts and unique purpose. That's why we're all here on earth. So just the fact that, you know, you're watching this podcast, maybe God has a message for you. Just the fact that you woke up and you're thinking, okay, how can I make my life better? It's you trying to improve something in your life, and that is God-given ability to think critically about things and understand that there's a purpose and a mission for you on this earth, and you have to take this seriously. A lot of the times people think, and that's how the world kind of brainwashes people, is, you know, you work at a 9-to-5, it's a very boring, mundane lifestyle that you have, and you think there's no way out of that. That's just how it is, and so it's always going to be. And you know, you see other successful people and they've made it, people that are happy, people that are living in their purpose, and you're here telling yourself, okay, how come I'm not there? And sometimes instead of telling yourself that you can also be that person that is successful, happy, and you know, lives a good life, you tell yourself the complete opposite thing, such as, maybe that is my thing, for me to live in a boring life, not be happy, and be content with whatever I got and not thinking about anything better. That is simply devil's deceivement in your life, because that's not what God tells us, you know? He tells us, if anything, the complete opposite. Now, we will also kind of get to how to kind of balance that too and not go too far with your desires. Also, you know, living according to Christ. But what do you guys think about that mindset that some people sometimes can have? We were all there at some point where we didn't have those ambitions, or we didn't think that there was anything unique about us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of uniqueness to each and every single one of us.
Yeah, and I'll say, because the reason I brought up this topic to begin with is because the reason I found God was because I was completely lost. And there was really, this was right after high school, and I was just like, just confused. I was trying to do self-improvement. I was just trying to get better. I was into entrepreneurship, but there really wasn't anything, like, it really just wasn't that deep of a path. Like, it was like, yeah, it was still very shallow and superficial. I really did not know, like, why I was doing what I was doing. And so I just had to spend a lot of time by myself. I feel like that is the reason why some people are lost and they go through the motions, is because they're, it's a very passive.
How do you break out of the cycle? Like, I know, I remember with your story, you never really liked that whole life of waking up, going to job, coming back home tired and not being able to work on yourself. You know, mm-hmm. You're so exhausted coming back from work, and then you just indulge in activities.
I think that system is kind of like made up like that, but I think it's also a mindset too.
Yeah.
Because the only reason I'm exhausted is because like I let things like drain me. So it wasn't necessarily the job itself, right, to some extent. It was just like my mindset towards life.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I was looking forward to just not working and just like resting and just like not doing anything with myself really. But that's because I didn't have anything outside of just like going to work or anything like that.
Right.
Like I would just kind of cope.
Yeah. And that's important. Like no matter where somebody is right now at the moment, even if you're working at McDonald's per se, you know, you have to be able to find purpose in doing what you're doing. A lot of the times people get shamed for working at McDonald's or working at fast food places and stuff like that. And I kind of do see where, you know, other people are coming from, just because, you know, you can get comfortable working at McDonald's and think that that is the only thing you can do. But at the same time, if you go into, you know, working at a job with a mindset that I'm a nobody and I'm worthless and I'm not doing anything, well, you're kind of serving people, bro. You're making the food for people. Mm-hmm. You're, you know, you're there cooperating with the team, helping people. You can be the person there that motivates others. You can be the person there that talks to others about, you know, taking it more seriously. But at the same time, you can't do that without being in a position where you have stepped outside of what everybody else thinks. You know what I mean? So people need to have, I guess, a healthier understanding that no matter what they do, no matter where they are in life, they have to seek for doing it for the glory of God by serving other people. There's something powerful about that. The money's not involved in those situations anymore. It's more, what am I doing for the better of the world?
The reason I came across this too is because, okay, I found God. Okay, like I believe in Jesus. I read the Bible. I go to church. I'm pretty much like saved according to what Christ says. But it's just like, now what? Like, what do I do with myself, right? Because I feel like when it comes to Christianity, you can get very passive in that lifestyle. Like you're not really like you're good. Like you're settled. Like you're satiated. Like you're satisfied.
Because what can be more than eternal life, right?
Yeah, right. Like you're good. Like what do you do now? It's like almost it almost. I feel just more to that. There's more than just, I'm not going to say being saved, but there's more than just going to church, coming home, reading the Bible, being a man of God. But there's more stuff like outside of that, which is
like your purpose and stuff.
And so,
inside.
It's this stuff. Okay. So that's why I really bring it up, because I feel like when it comes to Christianity, like people should really, outside of just their normal emotions, just try to live out their purpose God has given them. Because I feel like everyone is given a purpose and a unique gift that they can give to the world and serve other people.
Yeah. Just like what you said, like being warriors of Christ, right?
Yeah. So I just actually just searched it up because you brought a very interesting point. You know, the understanding of being saved is I'll be honest, whether a Muslim believes this or not, or an atheist, everybody's actually saved through Jesus' blood. And that should be something that everybody should be underlining. At least a Christian should be underlining that. But anything that is just a faith and has no works in it. So saying, for example, look, I believe in Christ. I understand that he died on the cross. It's a historical evidence. Even atheists believe that. Right. I mean, some of the historians were atheists. They didn't they weren't really Christians, but they were atheists writing this stuff down. Does that mean that they were saved because they believed that whatever happened on the cross was for that purpose? Or maybe, look, they could be like, look, maybe it was for that purpose. I believe that. I have faith in that. Is that enough? Now, I would say, no, it's not enough, because there was actually one of the followers that I always like to bring an example because he was very strong, Judas. He actually did believe everything that Christ was doing. He was there witnessing this. He was understanding that he was God. He was the Messiah, right? But there was something lacking in there, was that works through that faith that he still had to transform himself, which is a lifelong process, because being a warrior isn't just having your name or like being part of that army, but fighting until the end, right? If that if that person fights and like defeats so many people and he's always next to that group of people, but then one day, you know, he just understands that it's not all worth it and, you know, just decides to betray them, for example, right?
Which and it gets difficult too, especially in the times where things go south.
Exactly. Because you have to understand the understanding of like God and having faith, especially in our generation, not just our generation, but this time is very different because we actually haven't physically seen Christ. They saw him in person, which I don't want to say it's easier, but for us, it's just a faith, a very strong faith, 100%, right. But it's still a faith that we still have to follow until the end. Until the times end, or until we die, for example, or until the coming of the Christ, we have to be faithful servants. Without being a faithful servant, it's literally, for me, what I'm understanding out of it is, it's nothing. It really isn't. I think saying to someone, I love you, without actually demonstrating how you love them, like how do you show your love towards someone if you just say you love them, right?
Yeah.
Do you help them out? Do you call them every single day? Do you even ask how they're doing every now and then? Like you have a friend you love and you say, I love you, dude. But what do you do that proves that you love them? Same thing with Christ. Christ gave everybody, like everybody has grace. Everybody has that gift. Everybody has that free ticket in a sense.
Yeah.
That everybody was washed. Like everybody's washed. Like nobody's really like, yeah, I'm not saying that they're perfect, but everybody's worthy to go to heaven if they repent. They put their faith in Christ, but then where is the understanding?
So
of
the acceptance free will? Of the gift.
Yeah, free will and the works, which is actually perfectly underlined in James 2:14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Right? And the reason why this is important is because it's actually warning us in a sense, telling us, are you really saved though if you don't have any sort of work towards that grace that God gave you? Like for example, if God gave you some gift for you to go change the world and you're not using it, what good are you to the world?
I think it's that you don't work to be saved. You're saved, therefore you work.
Yeah.
So it's like
you're acknowledging that
you as a person who is saved, you're just gonna like naturally be inclined to want to do those works, and you're just like being changed through Christ and being slowly gravitated and changed over time into this
the transformation.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that slow transformation because me a year or two years ago, or let's say like a year and a half ago, I was reading the Bible by myself. Really. I wouldn't really talk about it that much with you guys or anybody else, but now I'm talking about it. Now we have a podcast literally about it. Now we go to church two times a week.
Yeah.
We went from going once a week to two times a week. And that's just like the slow, slow transformation. Now I'm looking at my career from a different lens, a different mindset, not about the money or success, but through just the impact and creating things and using my gifts and my skills that God has given me to change the world. And so it's just that slow process that once you're saved, the works are then just a byproduct of that. So it's like, if you're not out there doing works, it's like, I feel like there's some like, something missing
selfishness too in a way, because he can tie into, okay, I'm saved, I'm comfortable, I kind of got what I wanted with my life, is eternal relationship with God, but then what good is that without sharing that much love to other people so they can also come to that same understanding that you have and the same peace and same love with the relationship with Jesus Christ? If people are not led to God even through you, which is, okay, this is what I believe, right? When God saves us, and this is the type of thing where like we're here sitting down, knowing that and believing with faith that God literally died for us and took our sin away, and now we're saved and have eternal life. Not a lot of people have that. I would say, in fact, very few that I've talked to on a broader scale on who actually I've spoken with.
Wait, say it again.
Very few people that I've spoken with that truly believe that with a strong faith that, you know, Jesus died for my sins and I'm cleansed and I'm fully saved and now I'm doing his works, right? And I'm living with his purpose. A lot of people say that, yeah, I like to believe it. Yeah, he was a good man, that type of stuff, but nothing with like, all right, you know, he actually did this and it was for me, because an acknowledgement that you're a sinner, this type of stuff. So when you understand from that perspective that, hey, like, dude, people don't actually have this faith, you ask yourself the question, was it me that did something different in my life compared to those people, or was it solely because, you know, how God approached me? So because he did that in my life, now he wants to use me because of this much grace to pour out more grace towards other people. Because look, if God does everything for us, what are we here to do? If God goes and you know, talks to everybody in their dreams, or, you know, represent himself in their room and talk to them saying, yo, you're saved, and preach the gospel to them, that type of stuff. Yeah, he can do that. But what is our work on this earth for? Yeah, ultimately God decides.
God gives and God takes away.
Right. I mean, yeah, God.
Well, yeah, because God can, like, actually, I believe that, for example, if someone was to be saved, like, if somebody's really in a dark place.
I just wasn't going with that thought. I don't know why you brought it up, but it just kind of threw me off. That's why I said that.
Yeah, you can continue.
Then I'll finish. Pretty much what I was trying to say with that is, when we say that, you know, obviously at the end of the day, it's God's decision on what he's going to do with those people. But the idea is, it's our responsibility and job when we're saved, and when we feel that much faith, is to share it with other people. And not just that, but use our life testimony and our life-changing experience to enlighten others that, yo, your life can also be this way. In fact, it can be better. Think about something better than you just heard. You know what I mean? So that's where I was trying to...
So someone even that I keep in mind is Steve Jobs, the owner, the person who literally just created Apple, right? Yeah. So on his deathbed, before he died, I'm going to quote him. He said, I reached a pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life is the epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy. At this moment, lying on the sick bed and recalling my whole life, I realize that all the recognition and wealth are meaningless in the face of imminent death. So it's like, even people who are he was an atheist.
Yeah.
So all of his life, he's done all this work. He's so successful. And before he dies, he's just like, for what? Like, what is this all really for? And he was missing that eternal connection, because when he died, it was like there was an end. But with Christ, there is no end, right? So it's eternal. Yeah. So that's the real difference. And he also said, in his Stanford speech, he said, remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking that you have something to lose. You are already naked. There's no reason. That's not really a good
quote. Did he ever turn to Christ, or
I don't know,
any type of way? Did he ever maybe?
Well, if he was atheist, then I don't think so, right?
Yeah, but on his deathbed, that's a deep realization.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's not for us to really.
I mean, we don't know that. I'm just saying, if there was,
he's mostly a Buddhist, but I use him as an example, because literally he had all the success. He created Apple, one of the biggest even today companies. And before he died, he was just really just thinking about it, like, what was really the point of works? And those works were not connected to God, right? They weren't eternal works.
I feel like it's all empty if it's not connected to God. Anything, literally.
Exactly, and so that's why.
Okay, go on.
That's the whole thing I really wanted to bring up with this topic, is that, like, find work that is almost eternal. And this is point on that we wrote down, that is to not just think about success in this life, but how our life echoes into eternity. How our success echoes into eternity.
That's why I brought up that point, is a lot of the times when people want to get comfortable and kind of live in the motion of being a Christian and being saved, is you saying, I'm good. God already gave me that grace. Yeah, right. God gave me this grace. But I think that's what hit me the most, is that realization that I have done nothing in this life, literally, that deserves that much grace from God. Like, we're talking about eternal life. When you put this in understanding, it's a type of gift that you don't necessarily ask for. It's just given to you. I'll be honest, like, I wasn't like waking up and saying, oh, when is God going to save me? It just happened to be the environment that I was in, you know, the people I've talked to, the people I met, and then I found out about Christ.
Making a decision at the end of the day.
Really. Well, yeah, but Georgie, there's more to making a decision. It's if God doesn't put those people around you, if God doesn't present that scenario to you in the first place,
of course,
how am I going to make a decision?
He does it with everybody, right?
Yeah, I don't know what you're trying to interrupt me with.
I'm not. I'm literally just agreeing with you. I'm just putting it in a different way.
I'm talking about God's grace, and you're saying you had to make a choice. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, you know, God did present you with all this, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not taking the conversation from me making a choice perspective.
Okay, what did you not? Okay, what do you think I meant with that? Like, what do you not understand with this that I'm going? You think I'm just going with, like, it's just you? That's it? Like, you think I'm eliminating that fact?
I'm not saying you're eliminating the fact. What do you think? There's a misunderstanding on where I'm, because I'm going in one direction and you're you know,
cuz they,
and you're throwing this different statement in the picture that is not in that direction. You know what I'm trying to say? I guess that would be a good thing to share when we're talking about, okay, you know, when you have this grace presented to you, you got to make a choice, guys. Like, you really have to respond to this. That's not where I'm going in this specific direction. I'm talking about purely coming to a realization that there's nothing that you have done in this life that was deserving of that much grace. Of course. So when you have that understanding, you no longer think about yourself, and you no longer think about telling other people, right, entitlement, that, yo, you know what? I should have been saved. There's something tremendous decision I made. I only responded. I simply just responded to his love. That's all I did. I said yes, right? Yeah, for me, you could say that's an easy answer to give. And it's also difficult to put in perspective how people are not, like, why would you not kind of accept this much gift, right? Mm-hmm. Because it comes with change. It comes with, you know, giving up your old life and giving up your old desires that are holding you back. Now, like I said, I've been blessed to not have attachments with substances like drugs, alcohol, these type of stuff, which a lot of people have. You know, they started smoking and drinking when they were 13, 14, 15. What I'm trying to say is that God's purpose in my life personally was that to take me on the path where I didn't have to go through those substances, just so he can use my faith and my understanding of the grace to tell other people that, you know, there's nothing that you cannot turn away from. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Because look, some people had to go to jail. Some people had to even go as far as murdering other people before they were saved, to then go and work in that ministry, you know, where they work with people that are criminals, people who are drug addicts, all these types of stuff, because God used their unique experience. God took them on that path to then go and use that specific person who went through that much trauma to then go and tell people who were on that same path on drugs and you know, jail and all these types of stuff to say, hey, there's a hope and I'm the example. Mm-hmm. In this case, I'm not the example of that specific place, in that specific place, but, you know, you can still reach out to people through the message of God's grace by speaking with humility and the acknowledgement that, hey, God kept me away from these type of decisions. Yeah, I responded to when somebody offered me to drink or something like that, but I also at the same time didn't really have a lot of opportunities to do such thing, right? Just the fact that we did sports, just the fact that, you know, our parents taught us well, the fact that they were active in what we did and, you know, who we hung around with, this type of stuff, which a lot of people don't get, you know what I mean? And people grow up in very different environments where their parents could care less, type of thing, or parents are just not involved. Their parents are just working too much for them to mm-hmm. be involved in your life. But when you grow up in an environment where you have this type of grace around you, you understand that, hey, like, look, there's an opposite side to this that could have gone super, super bad, but it didn't. And why? It's not because of me. I certainly didn't choose that life, right? God gave that to me. And how can I use that understanding to, you know, plant that seed in other people's heads? That's what I was trying to get at. Not that you brought up, you know, a bad point. I just wasn't thinking about my decision when I was bringing those points up. Does that make sense?
Yes and no.
I'm sorry if I came out harsh, but...
Yes and no, because it's like... The reason why... Hold up. Something cut out. Okay, good. The reason why I'm not saying I don't agree with what you're saying, when I was chiming in with the idea, like even before when I stopped you and I said, God gives and God takes away, it's really understanding that God really knocks on everybody's door and God gives them the opportunity. God saves some people's lives, but they still choose to, you know, take drugs again and they die. Sure. Now what? What, like God didn't give them the same, what's it called, grace as you? No, it's the understanding of accepting, and not only accepting, but understanding, look, I should have died here and you didn't. That's where the decision is. You're saying here, well, yeah, God took me on this path. Sure. But you still had a decision to make. You still had a free will to make a decision. You saw all these people drinking. Why were you not, like, realistically? Yeah, sure, you were doing sports, but there's millions of people that do sports, but they weren't willing to not drink. You knew the substance was bad. You understood the idea of, like, if I drink, I might do something stupid. I don't want to regret this. I don't want to fight someone. I don't want to kill someone. I don't want to sleep with a girl that which I know is a sin. And you got to understand, we grew up in Georgia. In Georgia, you know, those, like, at least the Ten Commandments are really in the household, like, love your mother, do not sleep with another woman that you're not married to.
Yeah, respect your parents.
Things like that. Exactly. Yeah, respect your parents and stuff like that. And when you grow up with this mentality, you start to understand, look, this friend of mine is offering me to, you know, just say, like, yeah, your parent told you this, but dude, let's just go and sneak out of the house. We had situations like that. Our friends are telling us, we've heard people do this stuff. We could have made a different choice. Now, that choice that you're making could have either brought you close to Christ or not. Now, God might have interceded with that decision that you made, and then you would have had another decision to make. I think for the longest we live, we have Christ helping every single one of us. But then it's us that choose, do we want that path or not? Christ will never stop, like, actually, I believe this, that, you know, understanding the character of Christ, understanding that he's all love and he loves everyone, it's just not a good thing to have it in the mind where somebody rejects Christ 100 times, that's it, Christ won't ever, you know, be close with him or be around him, something like that. You can't have that idea.
No, I don't.
Because then you're putting one's grace above, or one person's grace above the others. It's really just making a decision.
That's a good point you brought up, and I wanna go back to that. This is the point I'm trying to make, right? And let me know what you also think. I personally, with my understanding, I cannot grasp the idea when somebody says what it's like to be high. I've never been high. I don't know what that feeling's like. So how can I say that I made a decision not to be high? Or, I mean, turn away from being high, right, per se? Because I didn't know what it felt like. But if I did, I could have got dragged into the feeling of feeling high, which can be a good feeling at the
moment,
right?
You made the decision not to get high in the first place. You rejected all the things that other people didn't reject. Now, I can tell you the same way. You didn't reject some of the things that some other people did, right? In this case, for example, let's just say somebody, let's just put it in a perspective. Let's put it on it might have never happened, but I'll give you an example. Let's just say me and you actually, at some point, we didn't go to church for a very long time, actually. We didn't even really care to read Bible. We didn't really care to even go to church. We were kind of separated in this type of, we're not saying we separated from believing some of the things that Christ told us, but we drifted away from that scenarios. Now, I know a bunch of people that were still drinking, partying, going to clubs, but they would still show up to churches on Sunday, right? We weren't. You see, everybody makes a decision with their own parts of life type of thing. You didn't, you made a decision not to get high, but that one person made a decision to get high, but they made a different decision of, do I still go to church or not? You kind of took a time, like a break off of it. You made that decision.
Where are you like kind of going with this? Because like, what is the real question? Like, why you make one decision over the other?
No, it's just like, didn't you ask me like, how did I make a decision not knowing?
I'm talking about this topic, I'm kind of reminiscing my thoughts on what I was kind of doing at the moment, and it didn't feel like I had to make a tough decision. You know what I'm trying to say? Like when somebody would say,
people.
Yeah, when somebody says, yo, let's go drink, or yo, let's go to a club. I didn't have any type of, I mean, I guess you can say I was considering it, but I'm telling you, I was at the same time, I wasn't considering like I was having this internal battle. But with people who have smoked and you know, got drunk many times, when they get asked that question, dude, they probably, and I've heard this, like they get like this tangling feeling of knowing what that pleasure feels like type of thing. You know what I'm trying to say? And they're having such a hard battle, but I personally never had that type of battle.
We all have.
I didn't have
to
think hard. I didn't have to think hard to, you know, get away from that temptation. Same with if somebody's, you know, if somebody really loves junk food, right, or McDonald's and these type of places, for them, that can be a temptation. But for me, I don't get tempted. I might be hungry, but I don't even get tempted to eat that food.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm trying to say? And when you don't have these type of, I guess, attachments and feelings, what I'm trying to say is that how big of a decision am I making? You know what I'm trying to say? Okay, how hard am I thinking?
How you? Okay, I'll put it in my perspective. Maybe you know what maybe I'm trying I'll to make say you or understand no? it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but where are we trying to get with this? Like, what is?
I'm talking about purely, you know, grace of God and, mm-hmm. and that.
But you didn't have to deal God with many me, big decisions right. like that or many hard because battles God that kept, you had to face.
Right, because God kept me away from substances and stuff like drugs and all these type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I didn't respond to it, but at the same time, I think it was his grace working in my life for a greater purpose to not be the person who smoked and you know, drank and all these type of stuff.
Okay, think about how many times God, kept you out of the things that you did wrong. And then understand the idea of it, you making the choice of or not. I'm not trying to go with the idea of you doing most of the work. I don't know. Where I'm going is if you're saying that I am not the one making a decision and it's not up to me, then you might as well say God has chosen me and not other people.
Oh,
you might as well hold up. You might as well say that it's not up to me. And it's the Spirit taking me anywhere that I go. Protection and a decision is two different things. I might be protecting you from it, but I can never make you do something you don't want to do. Never. Okay, let me ask you
about God's purpose.
Okay, let me ask you.
He has different purpose for everybody. Therefore, he takes them on a different path.
Yes, yes. Right? Sure. But then, don't you think we can drift away from that purpose? Like, what makes you believe that because God gave you a purpose, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing? Dude, you gotta understand, I don't think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, if I'm being honest, because I don't know what my purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like, it's not, like, we're trying to, like, paint this picture of, like, look, God gave me this purpose, God made me this perfect, sure, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to paint the picture.
I wouldn't put it like that, but I would say, like, God made me perfect like that.
Like, in that sense, no, but, like, you gotta understand, so, okay, let me ask you an honest question then, so I can, like, make you understand where I'm going with this. What was something that you were addicted to besides drinking, partying, smoking, whatever? What was something, not even a substance?
Probably pornography.
Pornography
was the biggest thing.
Exactly. How did you get introduced to pornography?
Friends, people around me talking about it.
Okay. Somebody showed you on the iPad. Look, this is sex, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you make a decision to then later on search it up on your phone? Okay. One time you did it. Then you start watching videos, understanding, oh, this is actually bad. This is what it does to your brain. This is the, I even watched a video of someone saying and talking about how pornography led him to killing people. And I still watched it. I still made a decision to watch it, knowing damn well that it goes against God's will. And I'm still making the decision. Until I came to that decision, I'm no longer serving myself, but Christ. Is when I drifted away from it. That's what I'm trying to understand. That's what I'm trying to take you to the idea of you making a decision. We had so many friends in our friend group that smoked. We had people smoke right in front of our faces when we were 8 years old. What makes you believe that you were so smart, like, to not smoke? You were purely making a decision. But you didn't make a good decision with pornography, I'll be honest. And I didn't do, same thing here. I didn't make good decisions with treating people. I would, when I was young, I would be super aggressive. You know, I didn't really value their their emotions. I would just go and fight with them.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's that decisions that we make that shape us who we are. And quite frankly, if I'm being honest, if I kept doing what I kept doing, you know, I would never come to the realization of loving someone, because I would just keep on valuing myself over somebody else's feelings because I thought I was right. And when you start reading Bible, you know, there's a lot of people that read the Bible, but they still don't get the message because they're still thinking about themselves. Look, reading this verse, how does it make me feel? Do I think that, you know, some of the scenarios I'll love someone, some of the scenarios I'll forgive someone? Yeah. Or do I just, you know, say no to myself? I don't care what makes me feel good. I'll still forgive because this is what God told me.
This is what I was trying to get at with the God's purpose, is because the reason why I brought up my personal story about this is that when people ask me, and you know, a lot of people have asked me this type of stuff, yo, Sadula, like, do you feel lust as much? Or do you feel like, yo, like, have you ever smoked, bro? Have you ever gotten drunk? Like, do you want to go to parties? These type of stuff. And then I tell them no, and they actually do see in my lifestyle as well that I'm not interested in those type of stuff. I'm actually not. I don't have to make a hard decision. Just like how we talked about the whole food thing. We're not really making a hard decision about processed food. We say no simply, and it doesn't feel like there's an internal battle going on in any way.
But there probably used to be.
Right. But not as much. So what I'm trying to say is that when you know, that these type of things tend to, I've noticed, motivate people and influence them positively that, hey, if there is somebody in my life, let's say like Sadula, who does not have any type of attachment to these feelings, I can also be that position. And then they ask, yo, how? And then that's when I tell them about God. That's when I tell them about Christ. I'm not telling them, yo, guess what? I'm this person. I'm such a good person, this type of stuff. I tell them simply that how God can work in your heart is he can take away those desires, right? Like he has with me, like he has with other people. I give them examples of people who have gone through anxiety, depression, even suicidal thoughts, and God just took that away from them. So there's a lot of testimonies, maybe not my personal one, about that specific topic, but other people's, and then people start to think a little bit more about God's grace. People start to think about God's power, right? And God's mercy. Yeah. So first, it comes from the influence and the physical evidence that somebody doesn't genuinely have any attachments to things. Why? Not because he never smoked. There's something more involved in it. There's God's grace and God's power involved in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think people make that decision, like, over time, like, we've made less bad decisions because we've prioritized Christ over ourselves in that situation.
Yeah.
Right, like, we in that situation, as we got closer to Christ, we understand that, okay, doing these things kind of hurts the relationship that we have with our God, right? So why would we want to make that decision? It's not like, maybe like ourselves, it would be good for us in that short term, but long term, like, that's not what we want, and that's not what we want to prioritize. We want to prioritize our relationship with God. And so that's why over time Christ changes us, because we understand that our relationship with God is eternal. And the works that we do and the pleasures that we do now is short-term, short-lived. So I think as a Christian, that's like why we make those decisions slowly over time, because we get closer and we walk further with Christ, right?
And that's a good point. That is talking from a standpoint in the present. But let's kind of take it a little bit further back in our lives when we didn't know Christ, we didn't read the Bible, we didn't know a lot about that at all. We were making decisions purely out of just the understanding, the consciousness that we all have of understanding right and wrong, bad and good, simple things that we didn't reject, right? We chose, okay, we understand that this is good and this is bad, but for the most part, I want to do more good than bad. And if I do bad, it actually bugs me inside, but people lose those feelings if they indulge in too much negativity and bad things, to the point where their hearts become cold. And they no longer feel that guilt anymore, right? So what do you think was God's purpose with, let's say, us in that life when we could still hear God's voice, so to speak, when you were making those good decisions versus the bad ones, right? So God works in your life through that, right? Would you say?
Of course.
Yeah. That's I was just trying to what would you guys
absolutely.
Have to
do? Absolutely. I don't know. I would always I mean, there's no way I'm taking that or like ever eliminating that factor of yes, God is the ultimate reason why me where we are. Of course. It's the protection that you know, some of the situations I was even like certain situations when we had to go hang out with our friends, you know, our parents like not letting us go. Maybe it was for a right purpose, sure, right? But we can't like always, like we can't paint a big picture on like the idea of like God protection, because then it's like if you are ever presented in the situation to you know ask God for something and you don't receive it, it could really hurt you. It could really change your whole idea of God. And unfortunately, there has been people where they have been like, they grew up their whole life in church, and there's probably so many things that they prayed for but never got in. You know, they just think, oh, like God never answered to my prayers. Like I've heard people talk about this.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'll be honest, I'll talk about myself since, you know, because, you know, when you talk about some other people, people might not understand it. So I'll just talk about myself. I asked God so many times to take the addiction away from me. I genuinely did. But I wasn't doing anything for it. I just kept on like making excuses and saying, you know, it's whatever. You know, God will forgive me. Like, I swear I was so bad. But
we all, I
was made in the same a place. Decision, like I'm talking purely decision, that, you know, what I'm doing is I'm being a piece of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't good.
Right.
I started hearing him more and I started to change because I also made a decision. Not just like, I was asking for it, but did I really want to change?
Like true repentance, yeah. Coming from your heart and exactly. willingness
like,
to
that's
change.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it really matters with works. How do you, how do you show God that you really want this to be taken away from you? How are you really praying to God about this certain thing that you want to be helped with if you're not taking any step towards it and you just think magically you're better than that person? That's why God should come into your life and change everything and get rid of every addiction that you have and make you perfect because you simply just asked for it.
It's almost like having a girlfriend, and as you get to know her and you get to love her, you get to build a relationship with her. You don't just buy her flowers or take her out to eat or do things with her and tell her how much you love you just because you want her to be with you. You do it just because those are the works that are the byproduct of the relationship.
And you want
to
be with her, yeah. Exactly.
Like those are just the things that you do that you just want to do out of just the love and the relationship that you have with that person. It's the same thing with Christ. Like you want to do works. You want to create an impact. You want to help other people. You want to be compassionate. You want to be a servant. You want to be a being a light because you are saved. Like these works are a byproduct of you being saved. You don't work to be saved. It's you're exactly. saved. Therefore, as you walk, you slowly transform and then you're just going to want to do work. So if you see in your life, I'm not really making the decisions as much as I want to, like really ask yourself, do I really think I'm being saved? Or how close am I really to Christ?
Right.
Things like that.
And when you start to ask that, you start to understand there's so much work that you need to do to perfect that relationship with him and not just call up on his name whenever you need to.
Yeah, just like but calling on your girlfriend whenever you need her to comfort you or something.
Being very selfless in a sense and understanding that Christ already did so much things for you. Like stop calling every time saying like, oh, like, can you do this for me, please? Like he already did so much for you. What are you doing for him? Like what is that one? Okay, for example, you're struggling with something that you understand to be very sinful. What are you doing towards it? Are you even trying to like change it? And when you start to ask these deep questions, you start to understand you're not doing anything. That's why it's not changing. Not that Christ isn't doing something for you. He already did for you. Like we got to have to understand he already did everything for us. Like when the way I'm understanding is when he says you all have been, or you guys are all free from sin I think he gives us this idea that if we truly repent, you'll be free from it. God, understanding from now, like I was actually free from addiction of pornography. I just had to accept it. I wasn't accepting it.
So change of the identity too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's complicated. And I think works and faith, I think really coexist within each other. One can't come without the other. Like if I don't truly seek for God, there's no way I'm finding it, bro. Like, I'm sorry to tell you, but this is the truth. God doesn't pick and choose people. God doesn't say, I love this person more, therefore I'm going to reveal myself to him. That guy asked for it, therefore I'm going to do it. And it's also another thing with Christ knowing people, right? Like, he knows that I'm able to, be maybe more aware of a lot of the things than some other people, right? He starts to understand that, you know, I give these people, I saved them from this. Maybe he felt something in his heart and understood for a second that Christ or God actually exists, but it's not enough. So, like, with his love, he decides on some people that it needs to be more powerful. So he does them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you can't really speak on that matter of why did he do this for that person?
But not for me.
And not for me, because you're stronger than him. He needs more help than you. So that's where I'm trying to go with this.
No, yeah, that's why from that perspective, when we're saying everybody has a different purpose, is that type of purpose is God's perspective outside of our dimension of time that we don't understand, but he knows. Okay. He knows it, but it's just when we do talk to people and explain it to people, sometimes it can be tough when you haven't gone through something, you know? That's what I was...
No, for sure. Like, I can't go to someone and talk to them. Like, dude, if there was ever a scenario where I had to explain it to someone what it felt like going from drugs to being sober, I can't do that.
But you've never been there.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean I can't tell someone how to get out from it. There is the way.
Yeah.
To get out of it. But I'm just saying, the friends that we have that might have gone through this might be better examples, because, you know, people tend to really connect with each other more if they're going through the same thing. You know what I mean? But, like, I don't know. It's just like, because somebody hasn't gone through something, it doesn't necessarily mean that I can't really go talk to someone about that certain thing. Just the same way I'm never gonna tell someone, like, or push someone away because, you know, after I share my story and he tells me, yo, look, I've never really gone through this, does that mean I have to close my ears and just ignore everything else he'll say just because he didn't go through it?
Yeah.
It's just very powerful how any person can do it.
Yeah, people need to really truly understand and believe that God definitely has purpose for everybody, and or they've been put through positions in their life and situations for a reason, and reflection is the key. Like, you have to go back and say, okay, why did this thing happen to me? How did I react to it? Could I have done it better? And slowly implement that in your life by just telling yourself, okay, you know, if I had an opportunity to drink and I gave into that temptation and it led to me being hungover, making poor decisions, what can I do to not put myself in that situation? Simple. When you get offered that, offered to drink, don't drink, right? Some answers are really found in such simple answers, but people just don't want to accept it because it's difficult.
Yeah.
Should we wrap it up? What else?
Well, it's on 47. We still have a little bit of time.
So I think one of the things that I kind of want to close off with is a little topic about, like, what Christ did here on earth. Because I'll read a verse from Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man...
That's a shout out.
Well, yeah. No, it's a song that I wrote down as well. So, for even the Son... Because it's such a good verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, right? And I feel like as we walk with Christ, our purpose with him is to become servants, just to become servants to him and the world. Like, and that's like our goal, like to be beings of light, to walk through life and radiate this like energy, to radiate love, radiate... like selflessness, for example, Eugene, like when I'm around him, he's just like light, super light. You know what I'm saying? Like, with being around him, he's great energy. I feel like that is like one of our purposes, to be a person of light, to be a person who's like radiating, magnetic in a sense that will energize.
Love those that hate you, not love the ones that love you. It's hard to do.
Right. To imagine and put in perspective that God Almighty, who created everything, came down to serve. Who is me to not serve other people? Who am I to not go and help other people and love other people when God loved me even when I was a sinner. So it just takes a lot of humility and deep understanding on the reality of life, that there's not that big of significance to you to tell yourself, oh, why should I do this for that person? Well, why should have God done that for you? Because he loved you. So use that love to love others.
Yeah, and even when I do research on like human needs and stuff like that, at the end of the day, people, once they have all their needs fulfilled, like they feel like they can survive, they have like the food, they have like some people around them, they want to be selfless. And like, remember last episode I said on self-improvement, that to some extent, like, it's not about you anymore. To some extent, like, you can only self-improve to a certain point when it's like you're going to self-improve for bigger things and greater things, for Christ, for impact, for the people around you. You want to get better, not just for yourself. You want to get better for something above yourself, beyond yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's like where self-actualization comes in, where you want to just be a part of something greater than you. And that's Christ. That's like his purpose here on earth, to help his people, right?
I'm glad you brought that up, is because I'm pretty sure you guys can all relate, is at some point during self-improvement, when I was improving, I didn't have a thought nor, I guess, gravitation towards impacting other people's lives and helping other people as much as when I noticed that my life was changing radically, the more I noticed how other people needed help.
Yeah.
And when I realized that I've turned my life around, that somebody else hasn't in that specific situation, let me go and help them. And it felt good.
That's the most fulfilling part about it, right? The most
fulfilling part is, yo, I did something.
Like, you God's emptied grace, yourself out to... Like, you
help them.
You expended your energy.
Right. You have kind of like overflowing cup, and you're giving water to other people when they need it. And it's like, I would not trade any of those moments to talk to that person about something that they're going through and they need help with anything of selfishness. You know what I mean? And there's something great about that and fulfilling. And that's what that verse underlines really, really well.
I might even mention the verse later.
Amen. Yeah. Mike.
Yeah.
Christian culture. Let's do this, boys. George, you have any closing thoughts?
Oh, I hit something and I...
Stories? Let's do stories. This is the type of episode. Wait, I think we did this, right? Have you ever been upset with God and how'd you approach it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that with you,
Gene? How do we keep picking the same ones all the time? Something. You gotta stop picking from the beginning. I think that's why.
I don't know. Dude, the yellow's right here. Crazy.
Is that story?
Yeah, these are icebreakers. Which Bible character would be the best at Twitter, and what would their pinned tweet be, bro? I'll be honest, bro. I'm not a big fan of icebreakers.
Do the story one. Do a yellow one. I think I like that section.
I think we can kind of rephrase that if you want. I would rephrase that question with like, who would be the one that would motivate someone, or their story or something.
Yeah, who would be the most Bible controversial character on Twitter?
Like, yeah, who would be the one that would motivate more? So
Peter. Bro, you'd be on there just defending Jesus back and forth on Twitter.
No, like just one tweet that would be most popular. I would probably, I like John. I like John so much. Like
John,
from the gospel.
The baptizer?
No.
On Twitter, John the Baptist.
John.
That man's on Twitter.
John the Baptizer. He upset most of the people, and he was very straightforward.
Yeah, him, Peter. Peter's definitely on Twitter, bro. He's like, you can't take my man's away. You can't take my God away.
Oh yeah, and then he's the sword.
Yeah,
and John. I mean,
John, the apostle.
The apostle. Yeah, because he has a unique way of writing stuff, and he just hits you different.
Like someone, I mean,
the way he words it too.
Yeah.
Like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so forth. That one, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And those stuff like that is very deep. And it really makes you think. And look,
it's poetic too.
And the very unique part about someone talking in a complicated sense for you to think about it is when stuff like that is written in the Bible, which I really love reading, is when I don't understand it, it makes me want to understand it even more. You know what I mean? When something's simple and you understand it, you're like, boom, I understand it. When something's complicated, you start to go in there and think about it. And it's just like, there's just so many things that you become conscious of and understand, like, oh, like, this is where it's actually coming from. And this is truly what it's saying. The more you think about it, the more wisdom you get from out of it.
I would say John the Baptizer. He was like one of those controversial dudes.
Yeah.
Like a controversial guy who would just say something that would upset a lot of people, but yeah, it was so true, bro.
Yeah.
I would say also Paul too. Like he wouldn't send out tweets. He would just comment under everyone's tweets and just respond.
Wait, who?
Paul.
Paul, yeah.
Paul would just respond to everyone.
And he was so
like he wouldn't actually put out tweets himself unless he was like really like pissed, I guess. But he would really just respond to everyone.
Yeah.
Because he would like just like he would write letters to the churches responding back to them.
Yeah. Well, he would be like, well, Christ doesn't really command this, and this is what Christ commands.
Yeah. My brothers and sisters from Paul. Yeah.
Exactly. This is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And turn away from this.
Christ did not come here on earth to make you guys serve each other, but to, or I don't know. He said something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with
to
that.
To be served, but to serve.
Yeah.
All right. Shout out. Quote of the day.
All right, so
Mike, since you already said something similar to that.
Wow. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God.
Shout out.
God.
Big F-H-F-C?
F.
Is it C at the end?
No.
Oh, wait, it is. It is C.
C.
F-C, yeah. It was always, I was always told church was the people and not the place. Well said. Amen. Yeah,
we agree.
This is so true because that's kind of the point that we were trying to make last episode too. And a lot of times I try to tell that to people that church sometimes gets, I guess church gets that bad rap on what church has been used to, for the corruption of bad things, but in reality,
also you had to be at this place at this time, like school almost. It felt like an obligation. It felt like this thing, but that's not what it's originally about. It's about the people and like what it represents.
Exactly.
And it turns into a place. I feel like it turns into a place long
term.
Even
like teachers in school get a bad rep. Like they're like, oh, these don't really care about you. They're just going to shape you into this person that is an NPC and stuff. But then
in
there's
some cases,
teachers.
I think the school system's corrupt like that.
No, of course. And then where I'm going with this, it's the same way you can go and, you know, understand that there is going to be few teachers that are actually going to shape you to understand what the real world is about. But then there's going to be obviously teachers that are going to be, teaching you to follow the system and be an NPC for real. Like, I'll be honest, because they are NPCs. And so what can they teach you? But then there's going to be teachers. So you can't really put that rap on every teacher, just the same way you can't put a same bad rap on every church.
Yeah, same. Really when people say, "Oh, there's this church located at this place, and that's the best church you can go to,"